Welcome to the Fearfully and Wonderfully Me podcast, a podcast designed to help you increase your influence, develop your leadership, and maximize your results. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fearfully and Wonderfully Me, a podcast designed to help you maximize your results. I'm so excited about today's guest. It's actually my friend, Amanda Gramillion, and she is here really talking about her story and her journey of overcoming some really tough stuff in her life and learning how really to embrace who she is and the fact that she is fearfully and wonderfully made. So I'm excited to have her. I know you're going to enjoy hearing from Amanda. A little bit about Amanda. Amanda published her first book in 2012, and she actually began revising it in 2019 and republished it as Just By Her Address, and She'll Be Fine. The story chronicles her story and experience with severe postpartum OCD, anxiety, and depression. Amanda is a regular blog contributor, writing mostly about parenting and mental health, and she's a regular contributor to Mighty, a mental health website that has millions of followers. She also has blogs published on MSN, Yahoo, and Newsbreak, and she's a graduate of Auburn University and now lives in Calera with her husband, Jay, and their daughter, Aubrey, as well as their two dogs, and she's actually thinking of writing more books in the future. So Amanda, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm excited to be on here.
I'm excited to have you because I didn't really talk about this in the bio, but you and I are actually related, which is kind of cool because even though it's kind of distant cousins, what's interesting is that you started or you wrote your first book even before I ever thought about writing a book. And I didn't know it. I didn't know because, you know, you and I hadn't been close and hadn't really kept in touch over the years. And then I think it was probably after I left my career at the hospital and started, you know, talking about leadership and writing books and things like that, that we reconnected on Facebook of all places. And you shared with me a little bit about your story. And so that's just kind of neat to me. It's kind of that connection that we, you know, kind of lost touch over the years, as people do, you know, distant relatives, you kind of move on into your own life in your own space. And the other part of that is you went to Auburn and I was living in Auburn, and all that time we had no idea. So pretty cool stuff to begin with. So tell me, first of all, tell me about your book, because I read it. It's been quite a few years ago, but I know you republished it. So tell me about that experience and the reason behind it, a little bit about your journey there.
Okay. Well, it's been, my daughter is almost 13 now. She's about to turn 13 next month. And so when this all happened, you know, when she was born and a little after, or a little while after really, that it continued, because I didn't even get help until she was 2 years old. And so it took me a while to get better and recover. And part of that was, and part of even figuring out what was wrong with me in the first place was journaling. Like, I started journaling at night, especially when I couldn't sleep because I was going through so much. And those journals turned into blogs that turned into people messaging me, at first people I knew, and then eventually complete strangers saying, wow, this is me too. I felt the same way. I had no idea other people did. This helped me so much. And so that inspired me to keep going, eventually turned it into the first book. But it all was a little overwhelming at first. I mean, I had always wanted to write since I was a child. You know, I kind of, even though I didn't go into writing, obviously, as my career, it was kind of a childhood dream at one point, you know, to become an author. I always enjoyed writing. So it was fun, but it was also a little overwhelming because I was still healing and kind of trying to get back to normal life, trying to repair my marriage from how it was affected by everything. And my daughter was still pretty young, you know, I was working full time. So I took a break from it for a little while. I unpublished it, came back to it several years later once I was, you know, further removed and felt like I could focus on it more and was not so overwhelmed. And my daughter, when she was older, and one of my friends actually encouraged me a lot when they found out that I had read the book, why is this not published anymore? Why are you not doing this? And so I decided to put even more time and money into it this time. I had it professionally edited. That was something my husband encouraged me to do. He's like, if you're going to do it all the way, you know, just you know, put everything into it. And so he actually encouraged me to do that, and I'm glad. And I also paid someone to record an audio version of it, tried to get as many versions of it out there as I could this time. Started the blogging again, hopefully starting a podcast soon. Just, you know, doing everything I can this time to get the word out and reach as many people as possible. And it's been a lot easier this time. Like, it's truly, like, enjoyable. Like, I realize now how much of a passion writing is and how much it helps me and it helps other people. And I really enjoyed it and enjoyed the journey. So here we are now. I'm still working on it. And it's still such a hard, long process. I don't think people who, I mean, you do because you're in it. I don't think people who are not in it like us understand how much work it really takes, like how much time you put into it. Even if it's not for me personally, I mean, I have to work full time another job right now. I hope one day not to have to do that, even though I enjoy my preschool teacher job. But, you know, I do that now, you know, to help continue to pay the bills. But I would love to just do this 100% of the time. It's yeah. My true passion.
It's incredibly rewarding. And I know your story is inspiring. And, you know, personally, it's not one that I've experienced. But I know that there are many women who go through postpartum depression. And you know, it's interesting because I talk about, you know, life doesn't really come with a manual, right? There's no book that says this is going to happen or this way, or this is what you do when it happens. And a lot of times, you know, as you know, when you're going through that season of maybe it's depression or maybe it's suffering trauma or anxiety or overcoming something like that, but whatever it is, it's almost like that mental fog. And so you're not in a great place emotionally to begin with. But not only that, is you're not really equipped with how to help get yourself out of it. Unless you've been, you know, really, really proactive from the beginning of developing yourself and growing yourself. And that doesn't come naturally to us all. And so your struggles were not some of the same struggles I've had, but I know that walking through that season is incredibly tough. And especially I can imagine as a new mom with a little one depending on you and a job and a marriage and, you know, all of these elements. And you're still struggling with, you know, embracing yourself and your self-worth in that season. So that, you know, I'm number one, I'm proud of you for overcoming that. And number two, for being an inspiration to other young moms and those women out there who are struggling with this. Because, you know, what I like to say is that until we're ready to own our story, it owns us. Right. But the moment we're willing to just embrace it and say, you know what, it doesn't have to define me, but it influences us. There's no doubt what happens to us in life influences us. But when you're able to say, you know what, I'm going to decide how it influences me. And you've decided to use your experiences and turn them into something positive to help other women. And that's a wonderful thing. And yes, it is so incredibly rewarding, although I know you enjoy your teaching at preschool. As well. So lots of gifts and lots of opportunities to touch lives. So share with us some of the insight from writing your book and sharing your story. What's really resonating with other people, or what kind of feedback are you hearing?
Well, I think, you know, like I said before, how some people said they went through the same thing. I've also had other people kind of like how your experience and my experiences are different, but in some ways, you know, also similar. And I've had some people who they get something out of it, even though they haven't been through the exact same thing. Kind of like mm-hmm. I get something out of your story, even though I have not been through that personally. The way that you came out of it and you know, tried to help other people and share your story. And everybody goes through hard times. Everybody goes through stuff. It's not obviously the same stuff. I mean, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't with other people. And it wasn't just, I did, of course, my main target audience was women going through postpartum depression, anxiety, OCD, and postpartum mood disorders in general, but I want as many people as possible to get something out of it as well, and I'm excited that some other people have said, well, I didn't go through that, but I still got something out of it, because I also talk about losing my job. You know, I was the breadwinner at the time. We've kind of taken turns with that, my husband and I. And that was a huge thing. That happened around the time I had my daughter. There were a lot of environmental factors. My father passed away when I was pregnant with Aubrey. We hadn't seen each other in 3 years. My grandfather passed away when she was a baby. There were just a lot of hard things. And I just never experienced so many hard things at one time. and neither had my husband, and it kind of forced us to grow up at that point. You know, we kind of had to grow up fast because we just never dealt with so many adult problems. And I think, you know, everybody goes through stuff like that. I mean, at different points in life, and we have to find ways, like you said, not to just get through it, but, you know, to help others to turn it, you know, for good, I guess, and try to, you know, let it empower you and let it empower others. And I know with your story, like you talked about us, you know, not seeing each other for a while and reconnecting. The point we reconnected was after my first book, I think, before my second, and your stuff was really taken off. And I actually feel like, you know, you were a mentor to me in a sense, because seeing you do all that really inspired me as well to, you know, to try to do the same and try to, you know, really help others and turn it into just such a great thing, I think, you know, to tell your story. I was just really inspired by that and still am. So I love seeing your posts as well and your podcasts and everything. And I haven't got to read all the books yet because you have so many, but I'm working on it.
Well, thank you for your kind words. You know, I just like to say the world needs more hope, and we're all hopefully trying to do what we can. So Amanda, share with us some of the things that really helped you kind of come out of that season. I know it's been a struggle, and you probably speak to this a lot more in depth. And again, I haven't read the revised new edited version, so I've got to get that. But share with us some of the things that helped you kind of move out of that season, because I know that there are people listening who either have gone through this themselves or are going through it or know somebody.
And that is it's always funny when people ask that. It's like I feel like when they're in the moment, they're still experiencing it just like I did at the time. They want this quick, easy answer. Like it's, you know, something's going to fix it right now because you're so desperate for it. But I always try to tell them, you know, unfortunately, that's not how it works. You know, we know that deep down with everything, but or with most things, you know, that are that hard. But I think you can get some relief pretty quickly, of course, but I think you're going to have some ups and downs for a while before you really get to where you want to be, and to not let that discourage you, you know, because a lot of times people will start to feel better, then they kind of feel they go backwards and they're like, oh no. So I try to warn them, you know, about that. So it was a process, but there were a lot of things. I will say the first thing was just even admitting there was, or realizing myself that there was something wrong and admitting it, and other people around me realizing that and just being okay with it and talking about it, you know, openly. That really helped a lot. Of course, that's why the writing helps me and the sharing it with others. But I did also go to the doctor. I got on medication, did a lot of things I was uncomfortable with for the first time, you know, in my life. I'd never been on any sort of medication for my OCD and anxiety. So I finally got help for that. I also went to therapy for a short time. I wish I had done that longer, but I will say, I think a lot of people wish they could afford more therapy, but it's very expensive. So that's a little challenging. But if you can do that, I think there's, you know, now more so than 10 years ago, there's more options too, especially online, and to do that maybe, or just to find other options that are as close to that as possible. I was part of a support group online through Facebook that helped me a lot. And I think there's a ton of those out there that are really helpful. Just talking to other people that are going through the same, knowing you're not alone. I know there's one right now that I'm in to help other people that are going through it now, since I'm so far removed from it. And it's Postpartum Support International. And they have over 15,000 members and growing on Facebook. So
wow, that's wonderful.
Looking for one, you know, there's so many out there. So, you know, find the one that, you know, you can try a few until you find the one that's right for you. But they are, you know, confidential, and those really help me a lot. But I think some of the other things, I mean, there's just a ton of things you can try, but I think it's different for everyone. What some things help more, you know, people more than others. Medication does work great for some, not for others. Even the ones that does work for it, different medications, different dosages. You know, I go to my doctor at least once a year to make sure that none of that needs to be changed. And so I encourage people not to give up on that. You know, if you're having any luck with that, or any luck with anything you have luck with, I think you should keep trying, you know. Just don't give up on it. Even things like, at the time I found a my husband and I both, especially when we started working on our marriage, we found a very supportive Sunday school class that helped us a lot. Exercise, trying to get enough sleep, take better care of myself. And those are big, and those are hard when you're a new mom. It's like, not that you don't want to do those things, but you know, it gets away from you and it takes a lot of effort when you're already exhausted to try to, you know, get in the habits to do that and to get the help. I tell people, accept help, ask for help, that it was so hard for me, and say no sometimes if you can't do something. That's another thing, set boundaries. You got to learn to say no and take care of yourself so that you can take care of your children. And you know, that the whole put your oxygen mask on first, you yes. know, less is there. I've learned that the hard way, so I try to, you know, tell people that a lot.
You know, one of the things that I found really touching, or just really impactful, I guess, and I was reading your blog, is that you talked about wanting your daughter to know it was okay, that sometimes it's okay when we're not okay, right? That there's nothing wrong with us or broken with us if we do find we need therapy or we need help or we, you know, we have problems or imperfections, quote unquote, right? Because that's kind of my whole concept behind Fearfully and Wonderfully Me, is that there's nothing wrong with us, right? We're miraculous beings in the image of God. Not that we're perfect, because we are human and we make mistakes and have problems and things. But I love Michael Josephson's quote in saying, you don't have to be sick to get better, right? It's not because there's something wrong with us. It's just that we don't have to be sick to grow and to improve. And even if we are having challenges and struggles, there's nothing wrong with that. And so talk about that just a little bit, because that was one of the blogs that really touched me.
Oh, yes, I would love to. I love that you said that and brought that up, because I think of it like physical health, in the sense of we work out and we do things to prevent physical sickness. So we should do the same with mental health, I think. And my daughter was definitely a huge reason that I wrote my book and I write my blogs and I share my story. And I'm glad that now that she's older, that, you know, she's a fan and she loves that. And she's like, she's my biggest fan. I feel like she's very proud of me, and I hope that continues, but we're very close. But she knows that part of the reason I did that is in case she ever goes through the same thing. I mean, even if she doesn't go through postpartum depression, which, you know, I hope she doesn't, but if she does, hopefully we'll be better prepared. I mean, my family and I knew nothing, obviously, I feel like, or very little about it. I shouldn't say nothing, but very little we now see, and we've learned so much from it, just about that, but also about mental health in general, and how, you know, maybe the previous generations have not handled it as, you know, we wish we'd had, or, you know, so we've learned from it, and we're trying to do better with the next generation. And I feel like she already reflects a difference in me at that age and others in the family at that age, and recognizing, like you said, that mental health is important. Some of her friends, they even take mental health days, like on there, have a mental health weekend where they're just gonna have some time for themselves. And I'm like, oh my goodness, y'all are like far ahead of us in some ways already. It's crazy. But they're so young and just, you know, so smart. But I just think that's great, and I really want her to feel like, you know, she doesn't have to wait until it's that bad to do something. Be proactive and, you know, treat your mental health the same way that you do your physical health.
Yeah. I love that concept, because it's, you know, it's so important, and yet one affects the other too. Like you talked about getting enough sleep and taking care of yourself and exercising, like that helps us mentally. And so it's kind of just that interlocked concept of, you know, one area of life affects the others. And so we have to make sure we're taking care of the important things in all areas. So how did you come up with the title?
Well, that was actually from, and I don't think I wrote about that in the first book, but I did in the second. The revised version has this in here, I believe, but in one of my blogs as well, maybe. But it actually comes from someone making the comment that when someone had a baby, they bought them a dress so they would not get postpartum depression. So that is the name of one of my chapters, just buy her a dress and she'll be fine. Kind of the joke that, you know, my book does have a little humor in it to kind of, especially the newer version, I feel like has even more, just to kind of help you deal with such a hard subject. It's so hard to talk about if you don't, I feel like if you throw a little humor in there, and people like that, it's less clinical, you know, it's more a personal experience and a personal story with a, you know, some funny parts in there. And so I like, so that, you know, that line right there, even the title itself is kind of a joke, like, just buy her dress and she'll be fine. No, she won't. She won't be fine if you just buy her dress. And if only it were that simple. I mean, you can still buy me a dress, I'll take it.
There's more to it than that.
A little bit deeper. I mean, the person had good intentions, but and just, I think, to show how misunderstood postpartum mood disorders are. And not only that, just the whole experience of a woman having a child, and how, especially just in society in general, especially in the United States and where I live, just how women are treated. And I didn't realize until I had one myself, and some issues with that and things we need to work on, you know, to improve that. You know, a lot of that's in that chapter and in the book and in my blogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And you blog pretty, I mean, you've got quite a lot of blogs out there and kind of a diverse areas there. So I was encouraged just the number of blogs and the amount of blogging that you're doing. You are really putting just so much content out there for people and resources to be able to grab onto. So that's awesome. So if people want to find the book, where can they find you or find out more about the book, or give us all of that information too?
The best single place to go is my website. It's www.justbuyheradress.com. And if you go to the site, you will see the about section about justbuyheradress.com. Or anywhere on the site, really. If you scroll down to the bottom, there will be links to my Facebook, to my Twitter, to my Amazon, where you can buy most versions of the book. The hardbook is not available on there yet, but it will be soon. In the meantime, there's a link to another site you can get it through, which is lulu.com. And because I have a Kindle version, audio version, paperback, hardback, and trying to think if there's any other links. I think there's like a link to my Google Read and some guest blogs I've done and things like that as well. But all of the main, you know, social media and where you can buy the book and everything is on there. My blogs are on there by category, and I'm adding to that constantly. Like you said, I didn't even plan on writing on so many subjects. It just kind of comes up. And like you said, like we were talking about earlier with physical and mental health, so many things seem to kind of cross over with mental health and parenting and the postpartum stuff. It just seems to cross over, and I'll kind of just like keep adding more categories, I feel like, every day.
Yeah, that's awesome. If you could give one piece of advice to the expectant mom to kind of be prepared for the possibilities, I guess, or maybe armor herself against, you know, some things that might come in order to maybe minimize them, what would that be?
I would say, it's really hard to say just, you know, a little bit, obviously, but I would say the most important thing, just to talk to your doctor and your family and research about postpartum experiences, postpartum mood disorders, even if you, you know, hopefully you won't get one, but they say it happens. I mean, the statistics are still all over the place, but they say, and of course now with COVID, it's probably even higher, but even before COVID, they were saying possibly up to 20% of women, but at least 80%, they estimate, experience at least the baby blues, which is a lot. You know, it goes away quicker, and you know, a lot of times you don't need help and you're fine, but it's still a rough, you know, rough little patch to start out as a new mom. And the fact that almost every mom feels at least a little bit of depression when, and most people don't realize this, when you have a baby, you expect to be happy and joyful, and it's the most wonderful time of your life. And for me, it was, but it also comes with some tough things. And I think it does help if you're more aware ahead of time. You can't obviously be prepared for everything, but you can try and be, you know, as prepared as possible. And I do not remember hearing anything about that at the doctor beforehand, or even after. You know, you have your 1-6 month checkup, the baby gets checked on constantly after, you're checked on constantly during pregnancy, but afterwards, you know, you're not, and you have to speak up, you have to advocate for yourself, and if you have to, think of it as advocating for your child as well, because they need a healthy mom, they need you to be mentally and physically the best you can to take care of them. So it's not selfish.
Yeah, absolutely. Self-care is never selfish because, like you say, it allows us to pour back into and give to others. And we can't pour from the empty cup. So I love that concept. It's interesting. I've never really thought about that, but you're right. I mean, they're well baby checkups and they're 6 month checkups and 1 year and but yeah, it seems like that it is necessary to advocate for yourself because it's kind of a missing loop almost, mm-hmm. or missing piece that doesn't get circled back around. So I'm glad you said that because that's important to think about. Well, Amanda, we could chat all day and thank you so much for just sharing kind of your wisdom and insights and about your book and your journey, because I know it's vulnerable. I know it is some of the tough stuff to talk about and to share. And no one likes to revisit those times in life when we were down or depressed or having anxiety, but I know that you are adding value to people with your message. And so I'm excited to see what the next chapter for you holds in store.
Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it. And I, like I said before, I feel the same way about you. And I enjoy following your journey as well.
Oh, wow. All right. So justbuyheraddress.com. And the book is also available on Amazon and Kindle and all kind of good stuff. So I'll post the link in the show notes and also your website so people can reach out to you and get in touch with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Start increasing your influence and maximizing your potential with Rhea's audiobooks. Available at audible.com, amazon.com, and iBooks. Please visit rheastory.com to learn about Rhea's books, resources, speaking, and training programs. Thanks for listening.